Why is it so difficult to diagnose RVH, that is right ventricular hypertrophy, on ECG? If we hope to successfully recognize RVH on those few occasions in which this is possible on ECG, then we need to appreciate the answer to this question. Along the way, we need to remember that all an ECG is the graphic representation of the heart's electrical activity. We also need to remember that the ECG is far from a perfect tool, and that the picture the ECG gives us is of the net effect of the heart's electrical activity. By this I mean that the overwhelming majority of the heart's electrical activity cancels itself out. So what we end up seeing on an ECG is only a minority of the heart's electrical activity that isn't canceled out by opposing electrical forces. Physiologically, the first part of the ventricles to depolarize is the left side of the interventricular septum. After the septum is depolarized, both ventricles are activated nearly simultaneously. But because the left ventricle in an adult is on average normally 3 times as thick, therefore having up to 10 times as much mass as the right ventricle when you account for what happens in 3 dimensions, left ventricular depolarization predominates over right ventricular depolarization, with the end result being that we do not see any indication of right ventricular depolarization under normal circumstances. Consider the heart's electrical activity as measured in lead V1. Lead V1, if you consider where the lead V1 recording electrode is placed on the chest, lead V1 is a right-sided lead. Normally, in lead V1, we see no more than a tiny positive deflection, R wave, because the majority of the heart's electrical activity is oriented away from the right and toward the much larger left ventricle, which is why we normally see a deep S wave in lead V1 and in other anterior leads. We think of RVH as a condition in which right-sided electrical activity is greatly increased and ultimately produces a large R wave in lead V1 to reflect this increase in right-sided electrical forces. But in order to produce a predominant R wave in lead V1, considering that the overall mass of the right ventricle is only 1/10 of left ventricular mass, there would need to be a dramatic increase in right-sided electrical forces sufficient to predominate over left-sided forces before you would see a predominant R wave in lead V1. It is for this reason that we usually do not see clear indication of predominant right-sided forces on the ECG of an adult until end-stage RVH with pulmonary hypertension and right-sided heart failure. In contrast to adults, ECG diagnosis of RVH is often surprisingly easy in children with congenital heart disease because relative size of the right ventricle compared to the left ventricle is not nearly as different as it is in adults. Bottom line. On occasion, it will be possible to diagnose definite RVH on the ECG of an adult, but realize that by the time you see a predominant R wave in lead V1 with associated anterior ST depression of RV strain, the degree of RVH in that adult will be marked, usually long-standing, and often associated with pulmonary hypertension. As a result, if your goal is to detect RVH earlier in the process, then an echo will be needed. That said, there are a series of ECG findings that suggest that a patient has pulmonary disease, such as emphysema or COPD, perhaps with a lesser degree of RVH. Key point, I like to think of the ECG diagnosis of RVH as a detective diagnosis. By this I mean that no single ECG clue is sufficient to tell you with certainty that your patient has RVH. Instead, like a good detective, the ECG diagnosis of RVH is made by deduction, that is, from identifying a combination of ECG findings in association with a predisposing history, such as long-term smoking. What, then, are these ECG findings that, when seen in combination, suggest pulmonary disease? These findings include right axis deviation or an indeterminate frontal plane axis, right atrial abnormality, incomplete right bundle branch block, or an RSR prime in lead V1, low voltage, and persistent S waves across all 6 chest leads. Consider pulmonary disease if you see 2 or 3 of these ECG findings, especially if the patient is a known smoker or has known lung problems. Suspect pulmonary disease plus RVH if, in addition to 2 or 3 of these findings, you also see a tall R wave without QRS widening in lead V1. A word about some of these findings. RAA, right atrial abnormality, is diagnosed by the finding of tall, peaked, pointed P waves in the inferior leads. Although strict criteria for RAA require a P wave that is 2.5 millimeters, that is at least 2.5 little boxes or half of a large box tall, if your clinical suspicion for RVH is high, I'll accept any P wave that looks uncomfortable to sit on as being suggestive of RAA. Pearl number one. Sometimes, instead of in the inferior leads, you may only see pointed, that is uncomfortable to sit on, P waves in lead V1 or lead V2. Pearl number two. There is only one condition in medicine that enlarges the right atrium without also enlarging the right ventricle, and that is tricuspid stenosis, which is rare. So if you see tall, pointed P waves in either the inferior leads and or in lead V1 or lead V2 in a long-term smoker or patient with known pulmonary disease, this finding suggestive of RAA is an excellent indirect sign that there may well be RVH. I want to finish with a word on the concept of acute right heart strain. This concept comes up when considering the possibility of acute pulmonary embolus. The ECG is not a good tool for picking up smaller acute PEs for which chest CT or lung scans may be needed. On the other hand, ECG findings for acute right heart strain may be very useful as a quick way to suggest a probable large PE before confirmatory testing can be done. Among the ECG findings to look for include the following: sinus tachycardia, seeing a few of the ECG findings I just mentioned for the diagnosis of RVH, such as right axis deviation, right atrial abnormality, persistent precordial S waves, and especially the finding of right ventricular strain on ECG. RV strain in right-sided leads can be a long-standing accompaniment of RVH, just like left ventricular strain in lateral leads is an indication of long-standing and more severe left ventricular enlargement. We recognize RV strain on ECG as either T-wave inversion and or ST depression in anterior leads, especially V1, V2, V3, and or in inferior leads, especially in lead 3.